Living on an island on the very edge of Europe, particularly before we became part of the European Union, meant that we grew up in a monoculture. Religion was rooted in some form of the Christian faith. The education system was segregated along religious lines. And in an era of high unemployment, job security was greatly valued. The not-so-subtle message we heard through childhood was, get a good education, get a secure job, and practice your religion. Our introduction to faith was the God of judgment. We were told that our behavior in this life will determine whether we will spend eternity suffering in hell or rejoicing in heaven. And even as a child, I have to say, I always thought the heaven bit sounded boring. We were told that life on earth is a test, that God has expectations of us, and questioning religion was not encouraged. Unitarians have always questioned faith, and those of us not born into this tradition but who have found a home here have it in common our willingness to ask questions about faith and religion. We question religion, and we particularly question how best we can live the gift of this life. Because if we live this life well, eternity will take care of itself. You just need to worry and wonder about how to live best here. Today, even within mainstream Christianity, the emphasis is on God's love for his creation. But does God have expectations of us? Is it enough that we live quite a reasonably ethical, in a quite reasonably ethical way? Or does God expect us to move beyond our comfort zone? Leaving aside the question of God's expectations of us, what do we expect of ourselves? There are all times when we all ponder the purpose of life. Who am I? What's the meaning of my life? And of course, these are not once-off questions. We will revisit them as life changes. And of course, we should and must always keep open the possibility that over time, we will answer the questions differently. Very often, the questions resurface in times of change. For example, living through a pandemic, witnessing the reality of climate chaos, hearing reports of natural disasters and political upheavals. Any of those events are likely to make us ponder the meaning of life. But when all of them come tumbling together, as they are right now, then our ideas are being challenged as never before. People born in the Eastern tradition of Hinduism and Buddhism are grounded in the importance that our thoughts and our thinking processes create our reality. For us born in the Christian tradition, we need to remind ourselves of this constantly. What we think creates our reality. And while we are powerless to change circumstances, we can always change our thinking. It's not something easy. It's never easy to change thinking, but we can do it. And of course, taking positive action is one of the most effective ways to change dark thoughts. You know, when we're in a bad place and we think the world is dreadful, which it just seems to be at the moment, doing something, anything positive, makes us feel better. So what is the meaning of life? We are the stuff that dreams are made of. Our little life is rounded with a sleep. So wrote William Shakespeare. I think he must have been a bit depressed when he did so. But we all have times when we feel powerless and that life is pointless. And I bet even some people here will remember an address given by Will O'Connell talking about days when the black dog of depression really has a hold. Will said, you have to get up and make every day the best day possible. Now, the best day possible might be achieving lots of things, but the best day possible might just mean getting up and making a cup of tea, but doing something, achieving, setting yourself some target and achieving it will help. So it is okay that sometimes we're not okay. When we feel down, we must treat our suffering with compassion, knowing that change is the constant in life. No matter how we feel, those feelings will change. This will change, and life will make its call on us. And the call of life is a call to living the best possible life we can live. Surely life is more than a few short years on earth, followed by a sleep. And yes, there are other writers who are far more inspiring on the subject of living a full life. And every spiritual tradition teaches the importance of living this life well, every one of them. In his book, Anamkara, John O'Donohue writes about everyone being called. He said, there is a unique destiny for each person. Each one of us has something to do here that can be done by no one else. And it is in the depths of your life that you will discover the invisible necessity that brought you to be born. And I think that is one of the jobs we have to do. In the quiet of your life, find out what your life's purpose is. The fact that we are alive together is not accidental. We don't understand the full how and why, but time will tell us the reason. We can't force that time, but in time we will learn why we were born. Another writer, the Unitarian Theodore Parker, who lived in the 19th century, had a real passion for being alive. He said, I wish to live deliberately, to front only the essential facts of life. I wish to learn what life has to teach, and not when I come to die, to discover that I have never lived. I do not wish to live what is not life. Living is so dear. So we can debate if God has expectations of us, but just imagine reaching the end of your life and having the realization that you never really lived it. John O'Donohue and Theodore Parker are antidotes to Shakespeare's dismal view of life. Both writers are filled with energy and gratitude for the richness of life in all its problems. It's almost as if they both knew that both of their lives would be relatively short. John O'Donohue died in his 50s. Theodore Parker died just aged 42. And of course, all the great spiritual traditions say that living a full life is more than the eat and be merry. It means looking beyond our own self-interests. It's finding that invisible necessity that caused us to be born and fulfilling that destiny. All religions say that we must be part of the wider life of humanity, playing our part in making the world a better place for us having been born and being alive. John O'Donohue also says that the fact that we are alive means that there is something for us to do. When we think of all that's happening in the world today, we see that there is an infinity of calls for our help. The needs are so great, they seem overwhelming. In the face of what is happening on a humanitarian level in Afghanistan and Haiti, what's happening in the world of nature with wildfires in Europe, North America, and Africa, what's happening throughout the world because of COVID. And we know that these are today's headlines. They have knocked Syria and the Yemen off the radar, but that misery continues. The extent of suffering in our world and the headlines day after day make us feel overwhelmed. However, the fact that we can solve every problem doesn't excuse us from doing the good that is in our power. Unitarian Christianity emphasizes the teachings of Jesus. We are told Jesus went about doing good. And the kingdom of God Jesus preached was not plucking harps when we die. It was helping and healing people now. Or as he put it, creating God's kingdom here. Kingdom of God is not up in the sky, slit through the door in the sky somewhere. It's creating goodness and kindness now. The gospel accounts of the life of Jesus are filled with stories of him healing people. He made the blind see, he made the deaf hear. His healing enabled the lame to discard their crutches and walk to a new future. He really enabled people to reach a fuller, better life. Perhaps those miracles did actually take place 2,000 years ago. Maybe the land of Israel had an exceptionally high proportion of disabled people who were cured by Jesus. But I think it's more useful to approach the stories of miracles as allegory for the human condition. Is it not true that we're all a bit blind to the suffering of other people? A bit deaf when it comes to hearing requests for our assistance? Are we all nervous when it comes to boldly facing life's challenges, so we cling to the crutches of what is familiar to us? You think of miracles like that. We all need healing. There is an account of Jesus healing a blind man that's unusual, because usually you say he met a blind man, he met a deaf man, he cured them. This account is unusual for two reasons. One is that we know the man's name. He was called Bartimaeus. And the second reason it's unusual is that it seemed to have needed two attempts by Jesus to cure Bartimaeus's blindness. Jesus rubbed the man's eyes with spittle, we are told. And after this, he had some vision. He said, "I see people, but they look like trees walking around." Jesus repeated the process, and then Bartimaeus said he saw everything clearly. I think we have a tendency to see other people, especially those not close to us, like trees, stick men and women, people but not quite like us. And when we see other people like this, it's easy to gloss over their suffering. When we see a boatload or hear of a boatload of people, refugees in the Mediterranean capsizing and being drowned, we really don't take them as people like us with life stories, people who love and have families who miss them. When we see the real person, a reflection of ourselves, it's only then that empathy becomes active. Right now, the world's news is filled with accounts of terrible disasters and suffering. The awful thing to think of is that almost all of them are caused by human beings. And we cannot solve all the problems. We cannot cure all of it, but we are duty-bound to do something. If I do nothing, who will help? Remember what John O'Donohue says, while you're alive, there's work for you to do. Thinking of what's happening in Afghanistan just now, I'm reminded that at the Second World War, just before it, as the Nazis tightened their grip on power, the Irish legation in Berlin was swamped with applications for visas from Jews looking for refuge in Ireland. At the time, on behalf of Irish citizens, they were refused permission to come because, as it was pointed out, they were merely economic migrants and there was a shortage of jobs in Ireland at the time. Probably all of those people ended up in places like Auschwitz. In 2021, the Irish government, on behalf of us citizens, has offered to give visas to 150 Afghan people. After all, we do have a housing shortage now. I think we could be a bit more generous. And I feel that if a few hundred people phone the Department of Foreign Affairs and their local TDs, that policy would change. And that's something we all could do. This is life. It is a gift. Let's live it in such a way that when we come to die, we will know that we really did live. Amen.